This is a story with some fascinating history in it. There's a couple of items referring to the state of the internet 10 years ago that are a little dated, but the rest still excellent. In 1492, while Christopher Columbus was exploring the Atlantic Ocean in search of the Indies, Johannes Trithemius, the abbot of Sponheim in western Germany, was struggling against the disruptive impacts of the printing press. Johannes Gutenberg had invented movable type around 1439, making it possible to print a book faster than a person could read the book. This famously ushered in a new age of literacy and a transformation of society that included the Protestant Reformation. But 50 years later, after its introduction, Abbot Trithemius was facing the concrete effects of the printing press on the monks and scribes whose sole mission in life was to transcribe appropriate materials for the reading public. For 50 years, both methods of book production had existed in parallel, but it was becoming increasingly obvious that the life and mission of the scribe was being eliminated one book at a time. Trithemius finally resorted to writing a treatise on the importance of maintaining the life of the scribe in society. He produced De Laud Scriptorum, or In Praise of Scribes, in which he laid out the values and virtues of the scribal tradition. He described four benefits that accrue from writing books versus printing them. Number one, the precious time of human life is spent valuably. Number two, the scribe's understanding is enlightened as he writes. Number three, the scribe's heart is kindled with devotion through his writing. And number four, after this life, the scribe is rewarded with a unique prize for all of his work. Trithemius's treatise focused on the value of transcription to those who were doing the transcribing, not to those who needed the books. This perspective and concern are common and often repeated when a new technology threatens an old one. The livelihood of individuals is threatened, social foundations are shaken, economic models are broken, and whole classes of people experience unease with the new shape of the world. I described this type of creative destruction in a previous podcast. But here, I want to use these ideas to look at the emergence of the participative web that is occurring across the internet, particularly the social web. This is where some of the information is a little dated. Until a few years ago, the internet and the web were places where established organizations created and published content for the rest of the world to consume, to digest, and to use in some way. Bulletin boards and private websites certainly existed, but they were created by a very small minority of technical literati with the unique skills to accomplish what much larger organizations were doing. But then, in 1995, Ward Cunningham created the Wiki, which was quickly followed by Classmates.com the same year. These introduced the first social networks and shared websites. Then, in 1997, Jorn Barger introduced the weblog, which we call a blog. This allowed people to easily publish a running stream of material in the form of a newspaper, a gossip column, or a diary. Slowly, web users began to realize that they could publish their own internet content as easily as creating a business document on their computers. 10 years later, there were millions of personally published websites. The Technorati website tracked over 100 million blogs that emerged. Wikipedia developed over 10 million articles in 250 languages. YouTube grew to over 100 million videos really quickly. MySpace and Facebook hosted hundreds of millions of user pages, and photos were posted to sites like Flickr in the billions. A modern Abbot Trithemius might ask, what will this do to the official information providers in society? And where are these people coming up with all the time to do this? Well, the answer to the first question is unfolding every day as we witness the loss of consumers of newspapers and magazines and television broadcasts. One viewer at a time is discovering the interesting, unique, and niche-oriented material that appears on YouTube and Facebook, Instagram, and Wikipedia. The ultimate answer seems to be clear. The web is supplanting television as a source of entertainment and information in the same way that television supplanted radio and newspapers in a previous generation. In the end, all of these will continue to exist, but the balance of social influence and the earned revenue will have changed drastically. Though the shift to a new media is clear, the travel time to that future is impossible to determine, which makes corporate and venture investments in this new media a little risky. Paul Sappho once famously said, "Silicon Valley is littered with the corpses of companies who mistook a clear view of the future for a short distance to get there." The answer to the second question, where do they get all the time, is only obvious to those who are creating the content. The modern, quote, scribal generation creates products in their professional lives when they are receiving a paycheck to do so, but not as a hobby and not as a form of entertainment. That generation has spent the last 50 years comfortably ensconced in front of the television and is convinced that only professionally created content is worth paying attention to. But they fail to recognize that a local high school football game is just entertainment created by amateur hobbyists. This amateur entertainment is not meant for mass consumption, but has a very small and a very devoted following from the classmates and parents of the players. So in many ways, the social web is exactly like these high school sporting events. The cost of creation is marginal. It's not initially targeted at a large audience, and the small group that it is targeted at are very devoted. A few sites will resonate with the mass populace and become a blockbuster, but most will remain small forever. America and the world are becoming more interested in customized entertainment rather than the mass market entertainment and information that have been in vogue for decades. To use a metaphor, we're all beginning to spend more time watching the local high school football team rather than watching NFL broadcasts. So who's creating all of this content? By one estimate, the people of the United States alone spend 200 billion person hours watching television every year. This is a huge investment of mental and physical capital in an activity that produces absolutely nothing beyond a shared consciousness of how characters are dating each other or how they're taunting a coworker that we can share over the water cooler. The content creators on the web have just redirected a tiny fraction of this consumption time toward the creation of their own content. Mark Wattenberg of IBM and Clay Shirky at New York University estimate that it has taken about 100 million person hours to create the entire content of Wikipedia. If that's in the right ballpark, then a conversion of all the television time in the United States would create 2,000 online projects of the magnitude of Wikipedia every single year. This would be a huge contribution to shared human knowledge, to niche entertainment, and would be the most complete historical record that was ever compiled. So let's return to our Abbot Trithemius. Abbot Trithemius was extremely passionate about preserving the scribal tradition and wanted to get his message to as many people as possible and do it as quickly as possible. His only option was to have the treatise typeset and printed by the very machinery that he was speaking out against. Even his message could not deny the power of the printing press. There's a similar power at work in the spread of participative, social, amateur web content. In spite of all its weaknesses, it is becoming the only way to spread information effectively around the world, and this will soon include commercial business communications. The Gutenberg Bible may be the most famous product of the printing press, but the transformation that it enabled in education and in business is much larger. Social networks, wikis, blogs, and similar tools originated as experimental software and amateur communication outlets. They've already had a significant impact on the news and entertainment industries, and they're not going to stop there. These tools will become as central to corporate communications and business operations as email has become over the last decade. Companies that incorporate these technologies will be in a position to leverage them towards competitive advantage, just as they did with their IT systems in the 1990s. Those who do not will be followers who avoid the early expenses and uncertainty, but who also miss out on the unique advantages that accrue to the leaders. Companies will either align themselves with the tradition of Trithemius or with the innovation of Gutenberg.